Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll talk with the top Red Bull soldier about the history and future of the storied unit, and we'll visit with the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
More than 70 years ago, in April of 1942, 64 Minnesota soldiers were subjected to unspeakable suffering during what is now known as the Bataan Death March. 75,000 Allied service members, imprisoned and weak by months of starvation and disease, were forced to undergo the five-day march. Japanese forces would kill those who were unable to continue, and thousands were mistreated and died. Of the 64 original Minnesota soldiers called up from the Brainerd and Park Rapids-based Company A, 194th Tank Battalion, only 32 survived to return home after the war. These heroic Minnesota Guardsmen endured some of the worst conditions imaginable during their captivity and showed the strength and resilience to survive. To honor the sacrifice of these men, yesterday, hundreds of participants from across the state marched in the 16th Annual Bataan Death March. Today, I pay tribute to all the men who endured the Bataan Death March. Their sacrifice paved the way for today's Minnesota National Guard.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the commander of the legendary 34th Red Bull Infantry Division of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General David Elisario. General, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks for having me this morning, Tom. I appreciate it.
We're glad to have you come over for a visit, sir.
Hey, anytime I get to tell the story of the great Red Bull soldiers, I'm all in for it.
Sir, I think we better start with the story of General Elisario. How long have you been in the military, sir?
Well, I will cover 33 years of military service on 14 June of this year, starting back in 1980 when I graduated from the University of Minnesota and took my commission from the ROTC program there.
So you've been in the Minnesota National Guard ever since?
I have. I'm one of those traditional soldiers that's never really left the state, unless the Army makes me leave the state for a while. So I have. I grew up in White Bear Lake. I attended the University of Minnesota, and I'm living out in Ham Lake right now. So I haven't fallen too far from the tree, as they say, I guess.
But, sir, the Minnesota National Guard did ask you to leave the state a few times, didn't they?
It has, and every one of those has been a great experience. But I will tell you, listening to General Nash there, I've been following him for about 33 years now. He was the first officer that I reported to back in 1980 in Owatonna, Minnesota. So it's interesting to see two young soldiers from Owatonna, Minnesota, make it to the top in the Minnesota National Guard.
And both major generals, and of course, General Nash is our adjutant general.
Absolutely.
Well, you were deployed with him a couple of times, too, weren't you, sir?
I have. I've done two deployments with General Nash. The first one back in 2003 when he took the division headquarters forward to Bosnia-Herzegovina. I went over with General Nash, then serving as his chief of joint military affairs, enforcing the Dayton Peace Accords with the three warring factions in Bosnia. And then again, I went to Basra, Iraq with him when we took the division headquarters forward a second time, 2009 to 2010 in Iraq. So that two tours with General Nash overseas. Both of them are great.
Spent a lot of time together.
A few years there, I was seeing a lot more of him than I was my wife. That's not necessarily a good thing.
I don't know what to say about that, sir. You got me on that one. General, how long have you been the commander of the 34th Infantry Division?
I did my change of command with General Nash in October of 2010. So I'm coming up on I just passed my two-year mark, coming up on the three-year mark here this fall. Having served at the division headquarters there in Rosemont, it's been an absolutely great tour. I tell you, if a person could get the opportunity, this is one he wants to grab when he can, and just let that thing ride for as long as you can, because it is a great job. It's a fun job. And you get to see and touch a lot of great soldiers in the state of Minnesota.
General, I think everybody in Minnesota has heard about the Red Bulls, and a lot of them think that everybody in the Minnesota National Guard is a Red Bull soldier, but that's not really true, is it?
No. Currently, within the Minnesota, there is about 14,000 of us in the National Guard. That includes 2,500 of us over there in the Air Guard side that do not fall under the Red Bull patch. So that leaves about 11,500 that are wearing Army uniforms. And out of that, only about 8,500 are actually Red Bull soldiers. We have a few other brigades within the state, the Troop Command and the 346th Regional Support Group. Both of those fall under my command and control, but they are not Red Bull soldiers. So there's really only about 8,500 Red Bull soldiers in the state of Minnesota.
Still the majority of those Minnesota National Guard troops are Red Bulls.
Right.
And, sir, for an old Air Force guy, because I was in the Air Force in Vietnam, could you tell me a little bit about the capabilities of the division?
Sure. You know, the division headquarters is the premier command and control headquarters for a number of Army brigades when deployed. So we are asked to stand up either a divisional element, we are asked to command and control a joint task force, or if we get large enough when we deploy to be the commander of the combined land force component, the CFLC commander, which is a lot of acronyms in there. But the division makes its money by commanding and controlling brigades. And with today's plug-and-play Army, they think that's anywhere from 3 to 7 that we can command and control while in combat.
Yeah, and a brigade is how many soldiers, sir?
A brigade is about, when you hear the word brigade thrown around, think 3,500 soldiers. So if you take that times 7, you're looking at 20,000 soldiers that we're asked to command and control when we're operating at peak efficiency in a combat zone.
Now, sir, would that sometimes mean that they're made up of Minnesota National Guard troops, but perhaps troops from other states as well?
Right. So we'll do an exercise coming up in 2014 here where we go down to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and execute a warfighter where the Army picks the brigades that will fight underneath us on a computer simulation. And I can tell you, I've seen the list of characters, and they come from just about every state in the Union and every branch available to the Army that'll come together at Fort Leavenworth, and we'll work together, you know, for the first time, just like we would in a war scenario, as you bring a pickup basketball team together and try to go out there and execute on the field. Interesting.
We're speaking with Major General David Elisario, the commander of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, it sounds like something that we've heard on this show for the last 2.5 years. It's all about training, training, and training.
That's absolutely the truth. I mean, that's the business of the Army on a day-to-day basis. That's what we practice. History is resplendent with stories of units that do well are the ones that train well. And we don't ever want to lose that lesson across the division. It's what we've done for the last 10 years to mobilize soldiers. That's what we are going to make our money doing here in the near future as well.
In general, we've talked about this on the show before, too, but we've got one of the top training sites in the country in Camp Ripley, don't we?
The Army has recently gone to regional training facilities. Camp Ripley has been recognized as one of those regional facilities that will serve soldiers in a 5-state area. It's therefore got the money invested in it for the ranges and living quarters that we need to support the soldiers. It has some of the best ranges I've seen across the country, capable of shooting all the Army's inventory of weapons. It's got housing where we can fit 2 brigades on post at a time. That's, 7,000 soldiers living. And it's got some great maneuver areas on its 54,000 acres that you just can't do in small-town Minnesota. Take those tanks and Bradleys out and drive them around for a little while. You need some acreage to do that on.
Sir, it's got to be helpful when you're training for deployments to be able to keep your soldiers relatively close to home and do as much of the training as you can at Camp Ripley as opposed to going somewhere else across the country.
And that is the new wave now when we go for a mobilization, to do as much of that training as we can here at home station prior to being mobilized, which reduces the amount of time that we have to stay at a mobilization site somewhere else in a country. So Camp Ripley is earning us money on a daily basis.
And you've also got Arden Hills here close to the Twin Cities where you can do some things, too.
We try not to talk too much about Arden Hills. People are going to find out about that secret that we've got working up there, and the cat will be out of the bag, and then we'll be fighting. But, yeah, we do use the Arden Hills Training Facility. We've put up some new structures on that recently, some great training facilities there, as well as a large motor pool that we operate out of there with one of our field maintenance sites. So that is a valuable commodity to us, even here in the Twin Cities, where we can take a soldier out and teach him how to drive the vehicles he needs without having to expend that time to get to Ripley.
Sir, we have to take a short break. When I come back, I'd like to dig into the history of the legendary 34th Infantry Division. We're speaking with Major General David Elisario on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by the commander of the Minnesota National Guard's 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, Major General David Elisario. General, I want to get back into the long history of the 34th Infantry Division. Is there a connection all the way back to the Civil War, sir?
Yeah, there is within the state of Minnesota. Back then, Minnesota was a river community, and we had large communities along the Mississippi River, starting down in the south, stretching all the way up into St. Paul. And if you read off the list of those names of units that had towns along the Mississippi with the militia units, you'd hear towns like Stillwater, Red Wing, Hastings, and you still hear those towns having National Guard armories within them. And famously in the southeast portion of the state is the 135th Infantry Regiment, which traces its roots back to the 1st Minnesota that was formed in 1861. Went into federal service, had a great tour of duty with the Union forces during the Civil War, and actually fought at Gettysburg in 1863.
And lost a lot of men then.
It did indeed. And the story goes that the morning roll call the day after battle, only 47 soldiers answered the roll call. And so the 47th Infantry Division took its name from the number of survivors. And the 47th Infantry Division was the predecessor of the 34th here in the state of Minnesota for many, many years.
So, sir, the next big conflict, I think, was World War One, but between the Civil War and World War One, there was still a lot of training, and the militia was still going in Minnesota, wasn't it?
Right. Minnesota Army National Guard was not in existence at that time, but elements of the division did exist, some of the battalions with the artillery and part of the infantry participated with General Pershing and the Army Expeditionary Forces that Allied Expeditionary Forces that went forward into France. They called him, I believe, Blackjack Pershing. Where they served in France underneath him as individual replacements and at sometimes unit replacements for Allied forces. So you never really saw the division as a whole execute operations within France, but you did see elements of the division executing across the entire front.
And, sir, then things quieted down a little bit till World War II, but I understand a lot of the basic training for people to join the Minnesota National Guard was right here in the state in those days.
It was interesting. I talked to General Vesey, who was a young soldier in the 34th Infantry Division at the time that they were mobilized for World War II, and you have this preconceived thought that every soldier goes to basic training, and that's not necessarily true, he told me. As they shipped out to Camp Claiborne in Louisiana, just prior to being deployed overseas, their basic training actually occurred at the same time that they mobilized the soldiers. So in the morning, he would hold basic training classes, and then in the afternoon, he'd hold his advanced individual training classes. So a soldier, no kidding, went through basic training on the job as they prepared to get on the boats to leave for World War II. Quite a bit different than what we're doing in the Army now. But, of course, you know that the Red Bulls were a very famous division during World War II. They were the first American soldiers to land on European soil. They did that in 1942 when the division finally arrived in Ireland. And then from there, they left to participate in Operation Torch, which was the campaign through North Africa, where they fought famously in Tunisia.
So, sir, the first country we invaded in World War II was Ireland.
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure, too, that they were pretty happy to see us go when we did, from some of the stories I've heard. But they fought across North Africa against Rommel and the famous Africa Corps, you know, with major engagements in Tunisia, Libya, and Egypt. And then were pulled out of the line and awaited the invasion of Italy. And went ashore again in Italy at the Anzio beachhead and fought through to the liberation of Rome, where they were some of the first troops to enter Rome, and then finished the war in northern Italy as they fought their way north across many German defensive lines like the Gustav Line, the Siegfried Line, and, of course, the famous Winter Line that many people have heard about, the Red Bulls in the Winter Line.
We're speaking with Major General David Elisario, the commander of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division of the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, we're my generation and the younger generation now, we're used to hearing about tours of duty and deployments and so forth, but in World War II, the division went to go to war, and they weren't coming home until they were done, weren't they?
That's the absolute truth, and sometimes I wonder if they didn't have it done the right way, because this constant coming back and going again does get to wear on the families. It gets to wear on all of us a little bit. Of course, I'm not sure that I'd like the arrangement they had either, where you leave until the job is done and then get to come home. That certainly would be a long tour as well.
Sir, the 34th Infantry Division was a highly decorated division in World War II, as I understand it.
They were very well known. They were touted amongst equals as being a great division. You count the number of Congressional Medal of Honors and other awards that were distributed to division soldiers, and you'll see that they ranked within the top three divisions that were awarded these types of things. And they've got some, the famous claim that they have is the most continuous days in combat during World War II, well over 500 days in combat. That's a tough number. I don't think I'd want to ever approach getting near. I've done 400, and I know what that's like. So I don't think I'd want to try to beat the 540 that they had.
Makes you just tired just thinking about it.
It does indeed. It does indeed.
Sir, you mentioned General Vesey. We understand that he enlisted in 1939. Minnesota National Guard was part of the 34th Infantry Division. Got a battlefield commission in Italy, and he ended up after 46 years being chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
He's a great American soldier. He is absolutely a national treasure. I had a chance to attend a World War II history roundtable with General Vesey the other day, and the man is as sharp as ever. He's just absolutely an impressive person. I love every moment that I get to spend with him. He has been a treasure to both the 34th Division, and he still continued to wear the 34th Division combat patch through all his career, which is just a great testament to the division and the types of soldiers that it produces.
And I understand he still watches to see what the division's up to.
You know, I've gone to Iraq twice now, and both times I've come home, and he has told me personally, don't even ask. I already know how you guys were doing, because I've had my ear to the ground, and people have been telling me all about you. So job well done. Congratulations. So he keeps an eye on us, even when we don't see him over our shoulder.
Sir, it's got to be rewarding to be a commander of such a historic division.
I tell you what, you take for granted some days the job that you've got, and you got to just stop every once in a while and remember that thought as we go about our busy lives trying to get things done. This is a historic division. It has done some historic things, and it is just absolutely a pleasure for me to be able to serve as its commander.
We do move forward and take advantage of the shoulders of those who came before us, don't we?
Absolutely. It's on their shoulders that we stand. It's never Elisario that did this. It's always the stories of the legions of the Red Bulls that have built the organization that allowed us to reach these goals. And it's great. I am so happy that they held the standards so high for so long to challenge us to reach for what we've achieved today.
Sir, after World War II and up to the point where we went to Iraq, what else was in the history of the division?
You know, for a long time there, we were on a rotation along with all the other National Guard divisions, of which there are eight, of exercising a warfighter at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, about once every 4 years. And that was pretty much the extent. We did a lot of home station training and work within the state of Minnesota for natural disasters. But really, the division was a stay-at-home division for many years there, from Vietnam all the way up until Desert Storm. Again, in Desert Storm, we provided some small company-sized elements that went forward, but no real major elements were mobilized until Afghanistan and Iraq came on just after 2000.
Hard to believe Desert Storm was 20 years ago, isn't it?
It's absolutely.
Seems
absolutely.
Like only yesterday.
Absolutely.
Sir, we're going to have to take another short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about, since September 11th, 2001, there have been multiple deployments. The Minnesota National Guard has really changed from weekend warriors, if you will, to citizen soldiers. Readiness status is high, and we'd like to talk about those things when we come back. We've been talking with Major General David Elisario, commander of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division of the Minnesota National Guard, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Friends, this is Don Pancake, commander of the Minnesota American Legion. As we continue our mission to train school patrols across the state, we encourage you to make a difference. Please visit legionville.org. That's legionville.org.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by the commander of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General David Elisario. General, we've covered World War II and a lot of history. The 34th Infantry Division goes way back. It's got a lot of history and a proud history, and I'm sure your Red Bull soldiers think about that every time they put on the uniform.
I think that's absolutely the truth. It's a rare that a generation gets to participate in a defining moment in American history. And certainly the war in Iraq, the war on terrorism, the wars in Afghanistan will be looked at and talked about in the future as a defining moment in American history. And to know that we were there when that was being made, to be on the ground when the surge occurred in Iraq, to be on the ground when these things happened in Afghanistan, is going to be something that this generation of Red Bull soldiers will be able to say, we stood and we took the test when it was given. We accomplished all our goals. We achieved our mission, and we can add to the lore of the Red Bull Division just like our predecessors did. It is a rare opportunity that you get only once in a lifetime.
Sir, we've heard over and over again over the last 2.5 years about multiple deployments since September 11th, 2001, and all of the Minnesota National Guard's men and women that have gone 2, 3, 4 times on deployments. But the one thing that rings through again and again, two things actually, is the training and the readiness status. When the 1st Brigade goes out, when the division goes out, you're there and your readiness status is equal to any other troops in the field.
We take great pride in Minnesota in the accomplishments that we achieve in an organization prior to going to that mobilization site. Most units, when they hit a mobilization site, will have 10% of their force fall out for various medical or personnel reasons. Minnesota has been able to get that percentage consistently down to less than 1% of its soldiers. And that's a big accomplishment, because when you build a team and you train a team and you prepare a team, and then you show up to the mobilization and you lose part of that team, you got to start all over again, and it's never quite the same. And we realized that early on. And we have taken great strides and had great success within Minnesota and making sure that our soldiers are trained and ready to hit the mobilization station. And I think if anything is going to be told out of these mobilizations, that's the one that'll stand out to me, is we were trained and we were ready when we hit the station.
General, in just the last half a dozen years, your division has had the longest deployment and then followed up by the largest deployment. You've been busy.
We have. We continue to send units out the door, and we will continue to send units out the door as long as our nation calls. But I get a little confused sometimes if this is the longest, the biggest. It seems like every time we go about mobilizing that first brigade, it ends up being the something. And this last tour with Colonel Kurski at the helm was definitely the largest of any deployment since World War II, the Minnesota Red Bulls. You know, when we went to Bosnia with 1,600 of us, that was the largest deployment ever. And when I left for Iraq the first time with 2,400 soldiers, that was the largest ever. And then Colonel Kurska came along and did it again with 2,700 soldiers. So that's been the story. We are ready when the nation calls for us. We will respond with what they need. And I think that's a great success that ought to be told. And, of course, the longest deployment, when we did 22 months away from home, that one I'd wish on nobody. But it's understandable. The nation was at a particular point in that war where it needed to surge forces into Iraq. And, of course, the easiest way to surge forces is keep every one of them that you got and just keep bringing those replacements forward.
So you got extended on that one.
We did. We were extended for 125 days in country, which gained us the dubious distinction of being the longest-serving brigade in Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Sir, we had a chance to go visit Colonel Kurska with the most recent largest deployment. And it was interesting to me that most people don't think about this, but you pick up 2,700 soldiers, travel halfway around the world, park them out in the middle of the desert. The logistics of the equipment, the food, the water, the people, everything you need, that's a big undertaking.
It is. You know, and that's the one thing that makes the United States Army, unlike every other army in the world, we are expeditionary. We're capable of fighting this force just about anywhere. But you go to some other countries and you hear about their defense forces, and they really can't leave the country. That's where their base of support is. And that is something that makes the United States Army what it is today, is the fact that we can do what we do wherever we want to do it in this world. We are truly an expeditionary army. And you got to take a mountain of metal with you, but we can get her done.
And a lot of water.
Indeed, water.
We're speaking with Major General David Elisario, the commander of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division of the Minnesota National Guard, on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, one other thing that kind of popped out at me when we were over in Kuwait visiting with the Red Bulls, soldiers have a way of making themselves comfortable just about wherever they have to go, don't they?
Well, you know, that's been going on since the Roman legions walked the earth. Soldiers taking care of soldiers, I call it. And you'll be the creativity of these soldiers is absolutely something special. And then you mix that with a little bit of down-home knowledge. You know, the National Guard, when it deploys lawyers and doctors and carpenters and farmers. And when we get somewhere, we can take care of ourselves, unlike the rest of the Army sometimes, who are just soldiers. We bring so many trades with us. So if we need a deck added onto the back of the house, no big problem. We can take care of that for ourselves.
It'll happen.
Indeed it will. And it has.
It was particularly a pleasure to do the show live with Colonel Kurska from outside the USO tent at Camp Virginia. And it didn't hardly feel like we were in a war zone, but I was impressed with the comfort level of the soldiers and the amount, the extent to which they were squared away. I mean, they looked like they knew what they were doing.
Absolutely. And in both my tours in Iraq, I've said the same thing about Minnesota soldiers. From 200 yards away, walking at me with two different soldiers, I can tell you which one of those is a Red Bull and which one isn't, just by the way they carry themselves, by the way they act, by the way they look. And that is such a precious thing for a commander to be able to look at soldiers and say, that's one of mine right there. The one with his head held high, walking straight, walking tall. I think it stretches back to the Midwest work ethic, the pride that we just take in ourselves here up in this part of the country, that we're going to work all day long until the job is done, and we're going to do it right. And that carries over when these soldiers go off and serve in the Army. And when you talk to some of those around the country, they're pretty happy within their platoon to get two or three Midwest boys, as they call them, within their formation. And here we are with the Minnesota Army National Guard, and when we go overseas, we got all Midwest boys. It's quite a great thing when we can get that all working together.
General, with the long history of the division, the bar is set pretty high for performance status and the whole history of the division. I think that has something to do with the way the soldiers carry themselves.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, we've had so many great leaders that have gone through this organization that have refused to lower the standard. We may have thought it was tough. We may have thought of the bar was too high, but we like to keep it that way because we see what it produces.
General, what does the future hold for the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls?
Well, currently, we're just getting ready to execute a Talisman Sabre exercise. That's with the Australian Defense Forces. We were planning to go forward into Australia with about 150 soldiers here in July. Sequestration and a few budget cuts have knocked that back a little bit. I guess we only got enough jet fuel to get us to Fort Lewis, Washington now. So we'll go out there and execute a multinational partnership relationship with Australia and the Pacific Command. Meanwhile, back here in the state of Minnesota, you know, the 1st Brigade has just recovered from, they've been home about a year now from their deployment to Operation New Dawn in Kuwait. And they're getting busy getting on with new equipment training. They've just been issued the new M2 Bradley Operation Desert Storm Situational Awareness variant. And they have to go through about a year's worth of training on that equipment to understand how to operate it, how to maintain it. And then just get comfortable using it so that they are, again, a viable force for the nation. So they'll be down and out here for about a year as they prepare that. We've also been working hard on our readiness indicators across the state. General Nash is so often points out to us, you know, readiness is the coin of the realm right now. If you're not personally ready to go to war when the nation calls, then you really aren't doing your job. So we're expending a lot of energy to make sure that our soldiers, as when we hit that mob station, maintain that 99% readiness that we need across the organization. And that's a fragile animal. We can chase that for a long time. 99% is tough to reach, but we're doing it.
General, for our listeners that are out there today that might be thinking about a career in the Minnesota National Guard, you got room for a few good soldiers in the Red Bulls?
Hey, we're allowed to recruit to 125% of strength in the state. We haven't quite met that mission for the year. I think there are a few recruiters out there that wouldn't turn you away from the door, I'll tell you that.
So you're still looking for a few good men and women?
They are.
General, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts about the historic Red Bull 34th Infantry Division?
Hey, I just want to tell the people of Minnesota, you have one fine military organization in the Red Bulls. It is true that they have accomplished every mission assigned to them during war. They continue to hit home runs when they come back. This is one great division. I'm so happy that I'm allowed to be able to lead these men and women, both in peacetime and in war. It has been an absolute fantasy for me to come true to work with these soldiers and their families, because nothing good happens without the families involved. And Minnesota has got some of the greatest supporters of their military in the families of this organization. I've seen it on 3 deployments now, and I continue to see it with every other soldier that comes home from a deployment. That family support here in Minnesota is strong.
General, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to visit with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
That was General David Elisario, the commander of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division of the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay tuned. We'll be back with the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to visit with the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelito.
This year marks the commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the start of the Vietnam War. Back in March, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs announced a partnership with the Minnesota Twins. Throughout this baseball season, more than 30 Minnesota Vietnam veterans will raise the American flag at the beginning of home games. I had the pleasure to kick off this partnership at the game on April 3rd, and it truly was an honor to raise the flag and share this experience with my family. The response we received from Vietnam veterans to raise the flag was overwhelmingly positive, and all slots were filled within a week. We look forward to this partnership and hope to see it continue in the future. Together with the Minnesota Twins, we are not only honoring Minnesota veterans who served in Vietnam, but we are taking this time to remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice and those who are still missing. As a Vietnam veteran, I can tell you that this recognition is an important part of the healing for many veterans who served in Vietnam. This is just one of many events and partnerships planned throughout 2013 to commemorate this important anniversary.
Thank you, Commissioner Chalideau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's always great to be here.
Sergeant Major, our regular listeners know that every few weeks you're on the show and we're talking about all of the various training and things going on in the Minnesota National Guard, but I thought we'd take a few minutes today just to talk a little bit more about you and what a Command Sergeant Major does.
Sure.
Can you tell us how long have you been in the military?
27 years now, Tom, so it's been quite a while.
Wow, that's quite a long time to be wearing a uniform, man.
It is.
And you were fortunate enough to become the first female Command Sergeant Major of the Minnesota National Guard. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm honored and humbled to actually have that be the case. And so this has been really a fun time for me and an exciting time in the organization, I think. The organization's really been focusing on very different things in this complicated environment that we live in right now, nationally and across the state. So I think it's an exciting time to be in this position, and it's a critical time to be in this position as well.
Sergeant Major, that's an important job. Can you explain to our listeners what the State Command Sergeant Major's position is?
Sure. I'm a primary advisor to the Adjutant General. And so basically what I do is I look at everything affecting the enlisted force, both on the Army side and the Air side, anything from training to readiness to family issues to soldier care to anything that affects our soldiers and airmen. And I advise the Adjutant General on anything that would affect the enlisted force. And so it's really a partnership, and we work very well together at it.
Sergeant Major, does that mean you're out traveling around to the armories and various other places in your position?
You know, I'm very fortunate to get out and see all of our soldiers and airmen. So I am on the road a lot traveling, but I do get to visit with our wounded warriors across the country, wherever they're stationed, and I get to go see our warriors coming back from deployments and the ones who are leaving for deployments and any of them who may be training anywhere else in the country or in the state, a lot of times at Camp Ripley. And so I am out a lot, but I have the benefit of actually getting to spend time with our soldiers and airmen wherever they are.
Sergeant Major, the first part of the show today, we were visiting with the commander of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, Major General Elisario.
Wonderful.
And we were talking about the readiness status of the Minnesota National Guard. You're constantly training and constantly at a high level, aren't you?
Absolutely, we are. We never know when the next call is going to come, whether it's going to be something inside the state or outside the state. And we're never really sure what we're going to be called to do or where we're going to be called to go. So we have to be ready in every aspect of the word, which is why we constantly train and we're constantly working on our readiness scores. And up to this point, the Minnesota National Guard has been ready and met every single obligation we've been called to do, and we're going to continue to be in that stature.
We're speaking with Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg on Minnesota Military Radio. Sergeant Major, I know that today you wanted to talk about the Joint Enlisted Mentorship Program. Can you tell me a little about that?
Absolutely. You know, the intent of the program was really to support the Adjutant General's top priority, which is to provide a competent, ready force, just for those things that we were talking about, in order to be ready for anything. It also supports the National Guard Bureau's leader development strategy. Basically, it talks to the fact that we want to continue to have our leaders provide balance in their life. We want to make sure that we're mentoring them to make decisions that affect their military career as well as their civilian life. So this program really attacks both of those things. We want to make sure that our leaders are going to be competent and adaptive, and we want to create confident NCO leaders across the Army. Basically, that helps to promote comprehensive soldier and family fitness, I believe. So in order to get the program off the bat, we started with about 30 of our senior enlisted leaders across the Army and the Air side, and basically we sent them to some training on mentorship, and we gave them some skills and some tools so that they can go ahead and do some productive mentorship across our force with our junior guys. And we're wanting our leaders to really participate and develop these soldiers. And then we're asking the mentees or the junior guys who are participating in this mentorship program to really help identify what their strengths and weaknesses are and to set some self-development objectives and help meet those along the way, obviously with the help of those mentors.
So just like in business, the senior, more experienced people are learning how to come back and help the younger people to, as you say, find balance in your life.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm.
So how do you choose the mentors for this program?
You know, we started out with our most senior NCOs, the most experienced ones we have across the force. And then from that pool, we got recommendations from their commanders and their peers and other leaders so that we could find the people who consistently show the ability to mentor those subordinates and live the Army values and that had the desire to help shape the next generation of our senior NCOs. Then, as I said, we sent them to that formal training and mentoring skills, and we identified a mentorship coordinator who really runs our program right now, and they really sort out all of the tools and collaboration sites and everything we have online for those mentors so that they're all ready to exercise the skills that they learned. Now we have a mentorship cadre who possesses, you know, diverse backgrounds, military occupations, experiences, and we're really ready to go and start mentoring throughout the organization.
Sergeant Major, what benefits to the Minnesota National Guard do you expect to follow from this mentorship program?
Actually, a lot. We're looking for our mentors to provide, you know, obviously encouragement, but also the candid information about the big picture of the organization that our junior guys don't always get. We're also looking for them to provide that vision. But we're looking for our junior guys to step up too, do some idea stimulation and help define and reach some goals. So it's really a partnership, and I think sometimes the mentors will learn as much from the mentees as vice versa. With all of this focused on our soldiers and airmen upcoming and how we're going to mentor throughout the organization, I really think we have a bright future for our NCO leaders. And in fact, our warrant officers are adopting the program as well, so it's going to increase the benefit across our force even more now.
Sounds like another exciting program that you're introducing, ma'am.
It is.
Sergeant Major, we've got a live show coming up for Minnesota Military Radio on Memorial Day, and you're going to join us during the 8 o'clock hour.
That's true. I'm very excited.
I'm excited to see the list of topics that we're going to talk about that day. Every time I talk to you, you come up with something new and exciting.
That's great.
Well, I look forward to seeing you here in the studio on Memorial Day at 0800, ma'am, and thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
I'll see you then, Tom. Thanks.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Major General David Elisario, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as the state's American Legion Commander joins us to talk about how you can help save the Minneapolis Veterans Home Project, and we'll get a preview of coming events at historic Fort Snelling. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.